Yes, darling, but is it art?
Studio X is an exhibition by Otipoti-based artist Graham Fletcher, currently showing at Gow Langsford Gallery. Fletcher is known for his representations of architecture, interiors, art and the domestic, bringing together contemporary and customary forms and intermixing Western high art and Indigenous traditions in his paintings. Inspired by the likes of Matisse's The Pink Studio, in this new body of work, Fletcher reflects on the intimate artist's studio as his locational subject, transferring the physical space of art making into art itself. Not depicting any one specific studio or space, the paintings extend on an interest in Fletcher's practice and the way in which he can visually communicate complex cultural discourses between Western and non-Western settings, often in a contemporary Pacific and New Zealand context, speaking to his own Samoan and European heritage. I had a kōrero with Graham Fletcher about Studio X and his process. Just to start our kōrero today, do you want to just start by introducing your practice, the mediums you work with, and the key ideas that propel it?
Okay. Sort of, well, it's not recent ideas. It's something I did during my doctoral studies, and it's been continuing on since then. And that was back in 2010, so I've been doing it for 15 years at least, looking at sort of intercultural spaces, the sort of mixing of cultures within a concept space, looking at tribal artifacts, modernist artworks, and mostly located within the 50s and 60s, so mid-century modern furnishings, which I quite enjoy looking at. Yeah, so it's based around mostly interior spaces, though I do sometimes do exteriors as well.
Yeah, as you say, your practice has long explored these representations of architecture, interiors, art and the domestic. In this exhibition, Studio X, you've taken to reflecting on the artist's studio as your locational subject, transforming the physical space of art making into art itself. What influenced this exploration of this subject or interests you about the artist's studio as a subject?
Well, sort of came about in a strange way because I did have this title Studio X in mind, which was meaning Studio 10, as in Studio 10 paintings, Roman numeral X. But I was starting to look at Matisse's work again, and he's always been influential on my work, and I did see his MoMA work, Red Studio, and a beautiful painting, a key red painting, if you want to call it that. Yeah. And then I started looking at some of his other studio works, like the Pink Studio, and in particular there is one I quite enjoyed. I think it's called Interior with Aubergines.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an interesting work, that one, because there's a pattern that goes right through it. It's mostly blue, and it goes right through to the floor as well. And there's a flatness about it. And those sort of works stuck in my head and sort of inspired me to look at the studio instead of the lounge room, which is what I used to do. And going back to Studio X, there was other readings in it, I thought, as in X as a cross-cultural space and also X as a the hidden or unknown, you know, X marks the spot. And I kind of find that studio spaces on the whole for artists are private spaces.
Mm.
So I thought, well, let's just pull that apart and I'll put all these studio spaces, they're made up spaces, they're composite spaces, collage together. I gather a lot of information, visual information, and I piece stuff together. So they're not real spaces. And there's a lot of modernist artworks in there as well, of artists I quite enjoy looking at their work. So it was like a whole lot of different strands coming together towards this body of work. I'll keep going with the series a little bit longer, but I think it's got a finite life to it. Mm. There's only as many studios as you can make, I suppose. But I did really enjoy making this body of work.
Mm. You touched on it there, this idea that the artist studio feels like quite an intimate insight into one's practice, where inspiration, material, and the artist kind of in a world intersect in a space, almost like a self-mirroring. Is there something to be said about your own relationship with your studio and your choice to depict the subject in this body of work?
Well, yeah, I guess it is self-reflexive, and I spend a lot of time in my studio, as do many artists. So I thought it was probably a good time to just kind of look into that now. And then I sort of wanted to make idealised spaces. So these are studios I will never be in myself. they're actually huge and massive windows. Yeah. And I kind of think, well, these are spaces I would love. It's all, you know, like you project yourself in those sort of spaces. My studio is actually quite small, dark. The light's not too bad, but I would love a larger space. Of course, all artists say that. I think the problem is, for many of us, is storage, because I kind of store a lot of work in the space. So that's where all my space gets gobbled up with storage. Yeah. But I in these spaces, I kind of kept with my old lounge room works. I almost like they're like advertising, you know, where they're not cluttered, they're very clean, like you're trying to sell something. And it reflects back to when I gather information. I go through a lot of old magazines around those sort of 50s and 60s period. And that's sort of kept through the thread as well. So my studio space is quite messy. I imagine most artists have very messy spaces. And these spaces aren't cluttered in any way. Mm. If anything, they're like some sort of minimalist living in there or working in there.
Yeah.
Which is great if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, perhaps not so realistic. I wanted to come back to this kind of idea that does underlie your practice. It's long taken an interest in these intersecting representations of complex cultural issues between Western and non-Western settings, surveying the ways in which you can visually communicate these discourses, often in a contemporary Pacific and New Zealand context. Mm. How can these ideas be seen in this body of work currently showing at Gow Langsford? Can you speak to the iconography in the works a little?
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to the idea of collections. I sort of see myself as a very amateur collector. Everything I have is basically, in terms of ethnographic objects, are souvenirs, souvenir works. If you could afford the real thing, I mean, you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm. So that's what sort of underpins a lot of it. I really enjoy looking at these objects, but basically, the only way I could get a close viewing of these objects are actually in museums. Mm. And I don't know the people who own, you know, these fantastic tribal objects at all. So I do just collect sort of lots of visual imagery of objects that I really enjoy. And that's the same with the mid-century modern furnishings as well. I have visual boxes, or boxes of collections of imagery, sort of like a bank of imagery or treasury of imagery of things I like and I enjoy looking at. And that's how I piece together these spaces. And when I think about it in terms of that mixing of cultures, that's why I look at the 50s and 60s. It felt like it was starting to introduce itself, the other, as opposed to Western culture. Those other cultures were introducing themselves into the lounge room, and I started seeing in a lot of advertising in those magazines in the 50s, interior magazines mostly, and architectural magazines, objects, tribal objects, sort of placed here and there within the lounge. And then I started noticing themes within domestic settings, such as the Japanese room or some other culture, American Indian room or something like that. And I feel like that's when it started really coming into society, I suppose, in general throughout the West.
I guess to add to that, this body of work and being inspired by a lineage of 20th century artists exploring the studio as an as a subject and as a charged side of introspection references these portrayals of European art, but also unsettles and questions them with the presence of these tribal forms. What kind of keeps you interested in this intersection?
Well, I keep coming across these images of artists, and these are people I studied very early on, and sort of were like my heroes when you're doing your undergrad and you're looking at modernism in general. You know, Picasso, Matisse, Braque, and I see images of them with looking at African objects and oceanic objects. I think it was the Surrealists that got more involved with the oceanic objects, and they had a different take on it. And Picasso and Matisse were more interested in the African object. I think André Breton described African objects as tilled earth or mother or the land. And then described oceanic objects as a dream, the sky, father, you know, right. a different sort of at the other end, and which may align itself more with surrealist thinking. But it was those images that sort of keep me inspired. And there was that big show, Primitivism in the 20th Century, I think it was called, at MoMA. Mm. And I've got the catalogues, and now and then I just look through and just see what they called affinities between the cultures.
Mm.
And I find it quite fascinating. I mean, it looked kind of obvious when you kind of compare it, but yeah. I still find it fascinating when they do those sort of comparisons as to what from other cultures inspired this what inspired modernist thinking.
Mm, for sure. In terms of your making process, I'd love to know a little bit more as to what goes into that. Are you able to walk me through what goes into a work or a day in the studio?
Yeah, well, I start off like this. I'll go through this body of work.
Mm.
I start off trying to, trying to do something different, because I feel like you could easily fall into routine.
Mm.
So I used something which I didn't do before, was start using stencils to get a sort of a ground, a pattern underneath.
Mm.
I've almost painted it all out now. If you go down there, you'll still see like remnants of the stencil patterns underneath. And that was inspired by Matisse's interior with aubergines.
Mm.
And then there's a correction process, because I think when I look at that, and I was also looking at Patrick Caulfield, the English painter, I think he's a British painter. He does very flat works, blocks of colour. He does interiors as well. And I was thinking, wow, I really, you know, find these inspirational. Maybe I'll sort of move myself into this direction. But I've jumped so far ahead that I had to auto-correct myself back to where I left off. And then I started going back to what I was doing, which is basically just layering up and you know, just putting down the blocks of colour, building it up and trying to get the space sort of feeling logical, or because they're all made from collage elements, so sometimes the scale's not right or the angles aren't right. You can look at it too much and you're never going to get it perfect. Sometimes I have to bring in my wife Holly to look at the work and say, oh, where are all the problems? Please tell me. So I've got little stickies on things. Well, fix that. And so it's just that process. And I just rotate the paintings around, and I'm just doing that constantly until I get to the point, which is my favourite bit, and it's probably the favourite bit for almost any painter, is to just put on the highlights at the end or deepen some of the shadows. And once I get to that point, I feel like that's enough. I can't do any more. Mm. And then I just leave it to dry, basically, and then send them up to Auckland.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're quite a perfectionist as a painter?
Well, that's a good question, because I probably say I'm not. I strive for it, but when I look back at the works, not that I could see anything major, big mistakes there. I just kind of think, oh, I wonder if I changed that a little bit, I could have fixed that, or have I made that shadow too long? because, as I said, these are sort of concept spaces. A lot of it's just made up. So it's very difficult to get it spot on. So I've just got to go with some sort of holistic view and just trust my instincts with it. But yeah, maybe I do strive for perfection because I do feel like I tighten up more and more.
Mm.
But I try and shake that off sometimes because I feel like, no, you don't want to go down that path like a graphic designer or something, or even Patrick Caulfield. I want to have the artist's mark still visible in the painting.
Mm, for sure. For people who do go to see the show Studio X, how do you hope viewers entering the space engage with the works and the show?
I hope they kind of like this idea of looking into a space, maybe like another room. That's often how people have described the works when they, if they purchase one, they put it on the wall and it's almost like they think there's another room there.
Yeah.
Especially if they buy the big works.
It's like a window.
Or a sort of doorway into another space. I hope that's what they feel when they initially see the work. And then I hope they get in a bit closer and start seeing the detail, some of the mark making, some of the patterns that are sort of peeking through. I like that idea that they could see it from a distance and get enjoyment from it, but also maybe get some enjoyment from it as well closer.
That was artist Graham Fletcher speaking to me about Studio X, his current exhibition on at Gow Langsford City Gallery. The show is on until the 20th of September.